Hi, welcome to On Writing, your fortnightly podcast about online writing communities, the terrible advice they give. My name is Sean, he, him.
I am Chad, he, him.
And I'm MJ, she, her.
Yes, nailed it. 10 out of 10. We are the best at podcasting. We are not going to tell you which iteration of the opening this was, but it wasn't the first one, okay? And today we are not going from the people. We are going from the Chad.
Directly from the trunk, to be precise. For those that haven't heard the episodes where it's been mentioned, I had an uncomfortably large trunk full of Star Wars books growing up. And we're talking like everything from novels to encyclopedias to the complete guide to nouns. God, what else?
Any comics in there?
Strategy books. There were a couple comics. Star Wars also taught me to hate comics. So thank you. Thank you, George.
Oh, my God. The Prima Guide to Star Wars Galaxies and stuff. Was that in there?
Oh, yeah, of course. The best part about that is that Prima just didn't know what the fuck was going on with MMOs because they hit so suddenly. So they were like, I bet anything I put in here will be relevant in 90 days. And like just nothing was by the time it hit store shelves. Mm-hmm.
That would not stop the man at the GameStop from selling you one, though. That's kind of...
No, and I would buy the shit out of them too. Like I, you know what? I love like book media related to like products that I'm consuming, or like before when there was like a cottage industry of providing them, mm-hmm. rather than as like a pamphlet thrown together by a marketing department or a cookbook. I say this as a guy that owns a video game cookbook.
I am not within sight of a video game cookbook right now. For reference, this is a lie. Also.
But I just like really like Star Wars shit growing up, and I liked the community. I liked that there was a certain degree of permanence with how much I was moving, right? Like I never lived in one house for more than a year at a time before moving. So like I had no roots, but like everywhere you went, there was a Star Wars fan. So that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
There was in one place, there was the last Starfighter and all of the background shots from fucking Short Circuit. And what's the Mac and Me? That's the other one that was shot like entirely there. And another place is just ghosts and Catholicism. But between the two, Star Wars, it's 100% Star Wars.
Yeah. And then I was there with like, you know, the emergence of the emergence of the internet. So like that meant that I could always go find more Star Wars fans and like be privy to stuff. And then so obviously I was pretty damn excited when like it was announced we're gonna get more Star Wars movies, and then we got like a like totally not pushed to the top by Disney video of a priest crying because he sees Chewie in the trailer. Like, okay, look, even somebody like me who will like be the weird guy that follows you out to the Applebee's parking lot when you talk shit about episode one, I knew that was bullshit, like, as soon as I saw it. I'm like, yeah, no, did you think Star Wars Episode 7 was not going to have Chewie?
No, because he dies in that one comic that everyone does not remember, but YouTube's...
Okay, it's a book, and it's called Vector Prime, and, you know, it wasn't even the Yuuzhan Vong proper that killed him. That was the Preterit Vong, and that's a different group of, like, Vong that come in first. Okay, it's actually one of the funniest world-building concepts I'd ever seen, where clearly what they were doing when they released that book was they were dipping their toes in the water. They were being what the Preterit Vong are in that book. They were dipping their toes in the water, and if they got a lot of backlash about, like, fucking Yuuzhan Vong, they were going to bail real fast. But they killed Chewie in the book, so people are like, I have to see what happens in a post-Chewie world, and they buy the next book and they go, oh, there's less Chewie than you think.
I think it would have been great if they had introduced, like, another fucking Wookiee that's just like, but, like, he just speaks normal fucking language where it's like, hello, I am God, Jeff. Okay.
Please remember that for a moment when we start swimming in the trunk like Scrooge McDuck, okay. Because that will be relevant. But the world-building thing that's so funny about this faction is that, like, they're not really expected to take over the galaxy. They're kind of like a They're kind of like throwing a big fish in the water to see the size of the bite marks. Because it's like, it's their job to go and set up like an empire and then get their shit kicked in. And then they like measure how much their shit got kicked in and adapt their real empire invasion around that.
Gotcha.
It's hilarious. But I, like everybody else, was really excited when new Star Wars movies were coming. And then I, like everybody else, was very disappointed when they arrived. And like, that's just a foregone conclusion. There's like Daisy Ridley just had an interview on a podcast where somebody was all like, so how did you feel about Rise of Skywalker being divisive? She's like, oh, was it fucking divisive? But you know, it was really divisive was that other one, the one Ryan did, Last Jedi. That was a fucking divisive movie. So like, when she's coming out on podcasts being like those movies, You can at least accept that there's not a universality to them that may have existed in previous iterations. And this brings us to our engrossing topic, which is what this has done to certain human brains when they arrive, when these movies arrive, the communities that they form, and how they grossly infiltrate, especially like writing communities. Imagine if like Donnie took a break from hanging out with writers with an R and started hanging out with Star Wars fans. These are the people that he would fall in with. And then he would cross-pollinate both the sins because Donnie is a silent carrier.
Well, this is where it gets interesting because we've seen the phenomenology of this Donnie before. This particular one, right? Because like, let's think about the Perdido Street Station Donnie. That Donnie is basically a member of this community, except he's talking about Perdido Street Station, which has a much smaller fan base, and its fandom is like mostly positive for it, right? That they're like, that was weird and fucked up, but I liked it a lot, right? And he's trying to bring this kind of energy where it's like, firstly, I have fixed it, I've figured out everything that's wrong with it, and everyone's like, no, you're a moron, that's really funny, how can you say that? But here everyone's like, Donnie, I think you're onto something. They should have let you write Star Wars. And everyone's like, oh no, oh fuck, oh shit.
Oh, and you don't want to see some of the shit fucking Donnie wrote, especially when he co-wrote it with his fucking mollusk buddy.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, I have actually seen some of this shit. Because while I'm diving into this, when you were talking about it, I searched for a few keywords and I managed to find cross-pollination that these people are writing stuff and then posting up on r/writing. It's literally happening. This isn't like a fucking abstract phenomenon. This isn't like a, like, what if Al-Qaeda breaks onto the future California high-speed rail and, like, disables the brakes or something. This is some fucking, like, no, it's already happening. It's all around us. He detonated it 20 minutes ago shit.
The high-speed rail is just caught in the Hyperloop now.
It's in the Hyperloop already.
We can't get it out. Elon Musk keeps trying to sell us a submarine for it. I don't know what the fuck he's so obsessed with this thing for.
Okay, so I think we should stop being ambiguous about the actual community we're talking about, right?
Yeah, sure. We can name drop. We can name drop the people that kidnapped Donnie, and we're currently detoxing
it. The Donnie core. This is Donnie core aesthetics, right? These are Donnie pilled mollusk cells that is this community, right? And that is a saltier than crate. It is a subreddit, so obviously we're already starting off pretty much close to the bottom of the barrel, right?
Yeah, what I'm trying to figure out is how much of like a mothership it is, because you'll get people that transit in and out of this horrible community and then wander into like other Discord servers and carry some of their misbegotten like rhetoric with them. We saw this come up a lot with one very in particular person on a Warhammer server where like he would just start conversations with like, let me tell you, why Brexit is going to save us from the Last Jedi.
Okay. Sure. Why not?
And the funny thing is, one of the most engrossing problems in like media literacy today is like toxic fandoms are kind of figuring out words that writers and critics use and then like really clumsily slapping them onto their cars. And they're like, is it a lowrider now? No, no, it's not. And then like going out and forming these really bad reads about what they don't like, right? You can find, I think there's probably 4,200 hours of video about what was wrong with The Last Jedi.
I think there'd be more than that, right? Probably. Considering that we don't even get the most of the ones that are not in English. I think if we could fucking search in like Cyrillic YouTube, the numbers would go up dramatically.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you, as somebody that was historically plugged into the Star Wars community, it's true. They don't actually speak for everybody, but because the internet does, because it homogenizes so much now, and split off communities form and split off communities form and split off communities form, and they all like kind of self radicalize. You kind of have to look into the chill Star Wars communities to see that the majority of them are chill.
Mm-hmm.
But it's obviously, if you're just browsing Twitter, you're like, wow, Star Wars fans really hate Vietnamese people. The other thing is that, like, the actual answer to why The Last Jedi was not very good, like, literally doesn't require 4,200 hours of explanation. It doesn't require, like, cross translations or essays. It didn't feel like the other Star Wars movies. The end. Like, that's it. That's literally it. And why didn't it feel like the other Star Wars movies? Well, because episodes 1 through 6 were all swashbuckling adventures thrown into a Flash Gordon aesthetic inspired by Howard Hughes films and Kurosawa films mashed together, right? It needs to feel like that 1920s highly masculine comics. It needs to not be very introspective, and it needs to satisfy that big cross-pollination of genres.
Well, it also needs to just be a fucking one-to-one regular-ass hero's journey, right? You just need to have, like, calls being given and then refused, and then you go anyway, and then you get the thing, and you reconcile with the father, and then the mentor dies, and then the whole thing, and then you return to the world, right? Like, that's what has to happen. One-to-one, you can't not do it that way, right?
Yeah, and there's always room to, don't get me wrong, there's always room to criticize the writing in like all three of those, well, two of those movies. There's nothing to criticize in Rise of Skywalker because it's ineligible
for criticism. It's not a movie. It's like AI shit where you're like, this isn't, there's nothing, what are you, huh?
Yeah, and I'm not like trying to be contentious about that. It's just not a movie. It's a sequence of shots that don't.
Occurrences.
That. Fucking Egghead would lose his shit because this is not internally coherent.
Not hardcore to the not negative.
But you parse a lot of the problems, right? And one of them, I do think that because Red Letter Media made that incredibly famous video where Mr. Plickett pointed out that the beats feel very similar to a comedy. In The Last Jedi, and everything was about subversions of expectations. That's become like a massive buzzword.
Mm-hmm.
Very uncritically, too. You two remember the 90s into the 2000s and the media and whatnot that surrounded that. From like 98 to about almost like 2012, I want to say, like being edgy and subversive was like in. I wouldn't go so far as to say things were like postmodern, but there was like a postmodern expectation trend in media from like the late 90s to the early 2010s.
Well, it's an essentially modernist trend, right? Where it's like tradition is bullshit, man. and this is like the Gen X cultural product, right? That like wrestling shouldn't be cool and colorful. It needs to be black and white. And like South Park is like really deep and stuff like that, right? Where the perfect commodification of counterculture or the identification of perfect consumerist culture with counterculture, right? The hot mollification of a hot topic thing, right?
Yeah. And like, think back to how like in a lot of these movies, they set up absurdist situations where, like, it's supposed to be, it's played straight, but you're supposed to laugh, but in other movies you're not supposed to laugh, and a lot of it blended itself in all sorts of different ways, where we had to deal with fucking both Secret Window and that dog shit Robert De Niro movie that came out in the same year, because they're like, oh no, like, it being somebody other than the protagonist isn't subversive enough. But, like, everything had to be irreverent and subversive for a while. Mm-hmm. And this was, like, the era when J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson were, like, putting in their time. Putting in their time and becoming the people who could become eligible to make Star Wars movies. Right? Like, that's... I still get a kick out of the fact that there was a long time where people were saying that J.J. Abrams was going to be the next Steven Spielberg, and even Steven Spielberg kind of thought so. But, like, part of the problem is that he got high on his own supply, and he also Mr. Krabs the fuck out.
Well, the other thing is that, like, if you look at what fucking the dude has made, a lot of it is, like, it's not like he hasn't ever been given the capacity to execute this whole maneuver, and then he's finally been given it, and it's like... He flubs it. He's had these resources the whole time, right? I think J.J. Abrams is just, like, broadly overrated, and I think that that's becomes kind of obvious when you're like, okay, what's he actually done? It's like, well, he made some
Lens Flare.
Yeah, the joke is he made Lens Flare, but it's actually way beyond that, right? Because he's, like, did a lot of this, like, Cloverfield expanded universe shit that basically no one liked and found really mediocre and was like, yeah, I guess we're moving on from this, right? And, like, wasn't he associated with Lost? Wasn't that his primary, like, claim to fame?
Yeah, which is... it's funny because that's where he's the best at, which is that he's great at elevator pitches and log lines. Like, literally, there's nobody as good as him at that. But then he had to hand Lost off to somebody that, like, understood that, like, characters and shit are also important.
Mm-hmm. And when you're, like, looking at the guy who's made, like, Lost and Fringe and Alias, right? And then you remember the good parts of Fringe are just, like, Joshua Jackson and Denethor arguing over a fucking, like, refrigerator full of expired cheese or whatever. That's like, oh, that's not J.J. Abrams at all. That's just two of them having chemistry. Huh?
Yeah, there were a lot of directors who learned emergent technical styles that were, unfortunately, broadly based on bar commercials. And, like, I'm not even joking. That entire class, they didn't cut their teeth like the original USC class did on, like, the fucking 80mm classics. They, like, fucking... there wasn't enough room for them because Spielberg and company were currently just fucking dominating the box office. So they had to get work somewhere, and they got it in fucking car commercials. And, like, you can see that JJ and Zack Snyder, like, their movies are just oozing car commercials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you find they also benefited from, like, what you could almost call bag men a lot. So, yeah, J.J. benefited, like, a shitload from, like, Damon Lindelof and Jeffrey Lieber. But, like, in the same way that Zack Snyder, one of, like, the critical films to his filmography was when he remade Dawn of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at all the other movies and you go, okay, aesthetically... I can see that that's a JJ or that that's a Zack Snyder movie, but why is the story told so well? And then you dig a little deeper and you're like, oh, James Gunn, that's why.
Yeah. It turns out that the dude who's the best at that actually did that part. That's cool. I think that there's, and the thing I think that's most odd about this, that JJ Abrams was given Star Trek and people found it, like, not particularly interesting. I don't hear anyone go back to the Star Trek remix right now, right? And if you look at the Star Trek media things now, where it's like Picard and Lower Decks and stuff, they're like, yeah, disregard that whole J.J. Abrams thing. I know we got Idris Elba for that one, but I'm just going to say, oops, we're going to take an L on that one. We're going to take a mulligan. Can we just take two strokes and drop our ball right here? Awesome. Thank you. Right? It's like... And I'm not sure why you would want J.J. Abrams for the Star Wars when he's already been given Star Trek and did that to it, right? And I'm not saying, like, he ruined Star Trek. I mean, literally, you, like, okay, I want this to make like a fucking 100-year fucking dynasty of movies, and people see it and they're like, it's all right. Like,
there's an unfortunate connection, I think, to the geek association that came with Star Wars and Star Trek, and the geek association that came with the internet, basically until people realized how much money is in Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
Because unironically, I think a bunch of people saying online that J.J. Abrams made a shitty Star Trek movie because it felt too much like Star Wars made Disney go, well then. And like, I'm not even joking that much, because there was this specter that was haunting production of the sequel trilogy. And that specter was this fear of a misperception about the prequels. And it's really important to understand that, yes, the prequels to this day still catch a lot of flack. But at least 40% of the dislike for those movies came from the fact that people had like 25 years to think about like their own personal headcanons about the Obi-Wan Anakin fight. And they were like really mad that their headcanons didn't make it.
Yeah. And I think that the biggest thing about if we're looking at the sequel trilogy rather than any particular movie, the biggest failure was just on logistical end of things, where rather than shooting it as one big block of movies like Lord of the Rings, like forming it as a trilogy, Disney literally like, fuck it, we're making a movie. And then they made one movie, and then they broke everything down, fired everyone, rehired everyone, made a second movie. And then they did that a third time, right? Like, and that's just not how you do that. Like, it should never have been a question whether or not J.J. Abrams would coming back for the second one. If you couldn't get J.J. Abrams to sign on for three movies, you shouldn't have hired him for the first one, right?
Well, Disney, when it comes to like media and resources, light bends around
you. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like, there is no convention that you are forced to adhere to. You can do anything you want. If you want them all shot on the same day, you have the resources to make that happen. Yeah, you will literally
roll out the fucking like CERN black hole and have them shoot in the event horizon, right?
Yeah, exactly. And
I'm just visualizing like getting like Madeline Langell's like ghost out of it so they can fucking like use the goddamn Tesseract to like put it on the aperture of a thing and record the whole movie all at once. Does that make fucking sense, Margie?
For sure.
Yeah, well, and they take a Disney cruise to get there.
Yeah. Of course. Well, there you go.
Yeah, it just all scans. It all frustrates me because if we all basically just got on the same page, Star Wars sequels weren't very good, and that's okay, then like we could actually have civil, sane, non the cop from Disco Elysium conversations about what went wrong.
Well, I think a thing about it is that like we're so fucking long out now. Like, how fucking long ago were all these movies? It's been a fucking minute, right?
Yeah, it's like we have to stop caring sooner or later. Like, and like you're looking at a dude who spent like the majority of his minimum wage job on Star Wars paraphernalia.
My thought is that like we're not litigating why John Carter or Mars didn't work, or like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen didn't like go as a movie, right? Like, right?
And so one of the things I kind of wanted to highlight about like J.J. Abrams and his very car commercial-esqueness and his being raised in kind of the flirting with postmodern era is that like that's very much how he approached The Force Awakens, right? And it... subversiveness gets confused a lot as wanting to do as filing the serial numbers off of something, right? It's like, if I make this just subversive enough to an expectation, then it's no longer plagiarism. And yet they feel that, like, if they drift too far away from the thing that they're attempting to plagiarize, they feel that it's not evocative enough of themes that they're trying to do. And it's a phenomenon you see, like, all the time. It's why people are like, can I write fantasy without elves and dwarves and the racism that exists between them? And people are like, no, fantasy is elf-dwarf racism. So we talk a lot about how, like, The Last Jedi subverted expectations. And fine, like, no, it totally did. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But, like, the Force Awakens was, like, very aggressively attempting to subvert every section of the hero's story while still ticking off all the boxes. It's like a friend told me about, like, these fucking cargo ships that come out of Asia that are, like, their harbors are right next to these scrap yards where you can go buy everything that has to appear on your ship for it to be in compliance. Mm-hmm. But, like, you just glue them onto the ship. And like, the fucking corrupt official there is just all like, look, dude, you just give me fucking 50 rupees and I'll fucking green mark this shit. I can see an escape hatch right there. But she was telling me that there was, like, a fucking time when she's all like, I don't think that's an escape hatch. And they're like, of course it is. Why not? And she's like, well, because it's, like, half off the edge of the wall that it's on. And they're like, pulled. And sure enough, it's like this fucking emergency escape hatch is just glued onto a portion of the wall. Right. But, like, that's a lot of what The Force Awakens was like, I'm a very dutiful compliance to a hero's journey without just understanding any concepts of it. I can't remember if it was you or my brother that I said that, like, The Force Awakens feels like J.J. Abrams was on his phone in class when they were talking about the hero's journey. Right? Because down to the fact that, like, the hero's journey is set up around Finn. In like, he's hitting every single beat. He even meets the wizened old mentor wizard father figure, and he just turns him down. Mm-hmm. And it's just all like, nah, that chick over there, she's going to carry the franchise. She's more marketable in certain markets. Sorry, Finn, your hero's journey ends here. Hang out with the fucking sphere druid.
Mm-hmm. Have you met our good friend Orb?
Yeah, which raises a whole bunch of seditious questions, including about our sexuality, if we're being totally honest. That's based on our prior Orb conversation.
Oh, God, you're right.
How Star Wars is a series of movies about a man who hates orbs.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, you're right. That wasn't in podcast, though. That was in text. Now they have access to the fact that the Star Wars dialectic is between man and orb. How do Jedi train?
They have
a little orb. What does he blow up? Luke Skywalker, he blows up the Death Star. And
that's why I was telling Sean that if aliens were told to describe Star Wars, they'd go, it's a trilogy about a man who hates orbs.
See, now that we're talking about it, I'm just still stuck in, like, X-Files land. Because we were talking about Disco Elysium Cryptids before that, and like, how J.J. Abrams, like, was showrunner for lots of Fringe. And now I'm like, yeah, he was an alien. He came down from his ship. Did he show you his lightsaber? No, but he sang his song. that's just small potatoes, though.
Mm-hmm.
You can't trust any of these analyses that these fucking people put out either, because they are just, like, so bizarrely spite filled, and there's just, like, this genuine hatred that they possess. Where they can't even, like, agree on any of their own readings. They just agree that that's bad and somebody has to burn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because, like, that's so not the Star Wars community I grew up with, where, like, the super vast majority of Star Wars fans are so into Star Wars that they couldn't possibly care less about, like, color, gender, or sexuality, especially because, like, they tend to live so much in the galaxy far, far away that they're like, I cannot imagine, like, anybody in Mos Eisley Cantina caring what people get up to with their junk.
This is the like, pre-sequel discourse of, like, is Plo Koon black or whatever?
We're very fortunate that Star Wars fans were too busy with Star Wars to pick up critical theory at the
time. That was good. I think that was good for all of us.
Yeah, well, when people can have, like, stupid, is the Empire in the right debates, and there's not, like, this question of, is this dude just being subversive, or, like, do we need to find out where he was on January 6th?
Speaking of that, I think we should go check out some fucking media from Saltier Than Crate itself.
Let's not beat around the bush. Let's look at, like, what they actually do.
Yeah, so
that's infesting my goddamn writing community.
So the first thing is fucking Wojax. They're like 50% Wojax by volume about how like fucking Star Wars fans are like based in Chad and square jawed, which I mean, one Star Wars fan is Chad. We can't say for the rest of them, right? But the rest of them is like a lot of like, I did it. I fixed the sequel trilogy. I fixed it. I fixed it all. And this is where it gets really fucking weird, because a lot of them is like, what? I can't believe J.J. Abrams wrote that. Or I can't. Why didn't they get this other person to write it? And it's like, dude, like a lot of these decisions were semi-public, right? They tried to get people to come back and they didn't come back. And they didn't give them a contract. So they got someone else and then they came back and they never had a fucking like a master script for three fucking movies. That's literally it. Like, yeah. I don't care if every individual script had been good, I still don't think it would have been good if you just fucking try and like freebase a goddamn three movies back to back with no idea what the fuck you're making. Right?
Yeah. You're okay. And like, they come up with the weirdest abstractions for this too. One of the things that happens to Saltier Than Crate style people is that they post stupid shit like this. Kylo Ren would have been a far better character if he was not connected to the Skywalkers or Jedi. And it's like, okay, what part of your brain rot like told you this was a thing? For those that don't actually watch Star Wars, Kylo Ren has like two character traits. One of them is that like he's Luke's nephew, and the other is that he went from good Jedi to bad Jedi, but he kind of wants to be good Jedi again, right? Like that's literally his entire character arc.
You need that though. That's Star Wars. Like that's showbiz, baby. Yeah. That's Star Wars, baby. You need to have a good guy who became a bad guy, and then he's like, maybe I could be good guy again. The whole premise, like if we could see the shape of one singular thing, right? That I think The Last Jedi implies a lot more of the shape of a third movie than The Force Awakens, because as we mentioned, Force Awakens is like nothing. It's literally just like, let's do Star Wars again. So I guess Force Awakens implies Empire Strikes Back, but like, but you can't make Empire Strikes Back again. Like that's not possible because the copyright infringement and all that shit. But I guess Disney could, because they make the rights. That'd be really funny if they literally just released a shot for shot remake of The Empire Strikes Back. That would actually be great. Would be that like, there's no redemption arc for Kylo Ren. He is the ultimate villain. You're looking for a villain behind him, but no, he is the one who descends ever deeper into darkness, right? And that's like an interesting thing to do, but it's not like that new thing to do, because bad guy descends deeper into darkness is kind of like the stock plot. It doesn't like vary from that.
Yeah, and so the most important thing is that you have to be loyal to what Star Wars is, like at its first and foremost, right? It has to feel like Star Wars. This is why even people that didn't like Return of the Jedi are still like, but I mean, it's fucking Star Wars. Even the people that didn't like the prequels were like, but it sure still felt an awful lot like fucking Star Wars. You got to like have those feels, and you have to be. I showed Sean the other day. You can go watch it on YouTube. Howard Hughes made a film called Hell's Angels. That right there is the inspiration for the Battle of Yavin. Mm-hmm. That's the final battle at the end of Star Wars Episode 4. You don't have to recreate that, but in order to continue the only thing the Star Wars fans want, which is shit that feels like Star Wars, you have to watch Hell's Angels and figure out what George felt when he was watching it. Right, and figure out what he was cannibalizing and how that slid into this synthesis. And this kind of brings me into the next topic. Well, no, we'll do one more topic on the attack on the personalized attack on the, I guess you could call it the creative forces behind it, because it's bizarre. First, they're asking weird questions like, in Rise of Skywalker, how does Force Ghost Luke catch Rey's lightsaber? I don't fucking know. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. Force. And also, that's like, if you hate the movie so much, why are you picking it for these details?
Yeah, like, I saw stuff where it's like they're going frame by frame about like the fight scenes and stuff. And I'm like, please don't ever go frame by frame in a fight scene. You'll just find shit. There's always just like a guy standing around waiting to join the fight scene for his cue. Like that. This is just how fight scenes look when you go frame by frame in them. Like, it's so sad.
Yeah.
I can't. Marjorie, well, what fight were we watching?
It's also fun.
Did have like a sword fight in it. I feel like it might have even been a Star Wars Visions, like an animated thing, where there was just like a guy standing in the background, like waiting for his turn to go. No, it was Venom, right?
Venom,
like,
yeah.
There's just like a dude, one of the security guards, just in his like NPC idle animation, like waiting to go in. And this is not a flaw in filmmaking. This is just like that you're not looking at that. You're looking at like the fighting part. And like if you're like, enhance. Okay, advance it one frame. It looks like he's just standing there not doing anything until like it's.
Yeah, then you also get the weird realists that are like, did you know that if you actually had a flashlight style lightsaber holding out your wrist and just jerking around randomly would be better? And it's like, no, it wouldn't, because it doesn't look like Errol Flynn.
It sucks. Yeah. Like, what? Yeah. Like, you don't need that cool guy who did all of the fight choreo from everything. Right.
Look, man, I have seen Sean play Beat Saber. I know what it looks like when you swing those swords around.
Just like do a lot of wrist ninja stuff. No, what's super funny is that, when my brother did it, he does it literally no movement from the shoulder or elbows. He literally only does wrists like a T-Rex, like just holding them out in front of himself and like wiggling. And I'm like, swing the thing. And he's like, no. but yeah, no, that like you don't want to watch that Star Wars movie. Like actually, you shouldn't hold a lightsaber in two hands. Like, fuck off. Fuck entirely off. Have you not seen? Swords are cool. It's cooler if they're swords rather than if they're like, actually, it's better to fucking...
You know what else? Like, fucking swords are cooler than swords actually were.
Yes.
except for that one Italian handbook that taught you the hallowed art of grabbing that dude by the sword and kicking him in the balls.
Well, no, that's the thing, right? Like, noble and worthy art of defense is like shout at them really loud and then kick them in the dick and then stab them in the neck. Like, it's not like there's not like a...
No, I'm sure if you flip one of the pages, at least one of them is. And as he pursueth, point yonder and cry, the hell is that?
Yeah. Run, motherfucker,
then
run.
Then dost thou strike.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's never like, and then after the first exchange of blows, do a second exchange of blows, and then jump down from your little ledge, right? Like, it's just, again, stab them in the nuts and, like, hope they bleed out, right?
Yeah. Okay, the overlap between Star Wars combat and a Jackie Chan movie is, like, uncomfortably large. Yeah,
because good fight choreo is good fight choreo, right? Like,
yeah. Well, they're little stories in and of themselves. Okay, what do they look so much like dance? Hang on, you're almost onto something here. You're getting real close.
There's this word. Barge, I think you mentioned it to me once. It's like danceography, where you plan out motions and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Though I'm...
Oh, choreography, but yes.
Wait, can fights have choreography? That doesn't sound right.
No, but I'm picturing this one dude with a fucking lightsaber and like a hazard vest on that's all like, you know, I did lightsaber scenes in that one movie with Obi-Wan. Okay, now here's how you're going to riposte. I'm going to teach you all form three now.
Wait, that actually makes sense because it was fucking Obi-Wan. Holy shit. Wait.
Yes.
Oh my God, it all makes sense now.
No, I cut deep on that one.
Ah, God. No, what I'm thinking about is that if you want a Star Wars movie that's made by Disney that's good, just squint your eyes while watching Pirates of the Caribbean, because that's actually a Star Wars movie. It's like a perfect hero's...
Yeah, it's true.
It's like a perfect hero's journey. There's a force. There's a dark side of the force that makes people into cool zombies. Like, there's ship-to-ship combat, right? Like... But what else do you fucking need in a film? There's even all that perfect, like, sword fighting. It's got, like, the best sword fighting of, like, any movie ever. Boom, you're done.
It also has the equivalent of like a Sith Lord marrying two people mid lightsaber fight, which fucking rules. The writers never gave any reason for Rey to be in the story. Yeah, I know, and it's weird that it took you like 7 years to figure that out. Now they're bitching because they're bringing back Asajj Ventress, which will mean nothing to the majority of you, but she died in some fucking obscure comic, and they're like, oh, you can't even keep that straight. And it's like, dude, nobody fucking cares. Honestly, nobody cares.
Actually, it was in a Protean Legend comic where the Disney were trying out to see if something would work. And then if they respond well to it, then they bring back Asajj Ventress.
Yeah, well, and so they keep like throwing themselves at, I'm sure if you browse the internet and you've ever felt certain you could smell someone through your headset, they've mentioned the word Kathleen Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is where it gets really Gamergate-y.
Yeah, this is really weird, especially because the character of Kathleen Kennedy bears almost no similarities to the person of Kathleen Kennedy. I will be the first to say that she probably shouldn't have had like absolute creative control over the series. In part because she has an extremely impressive resume that has very little to do with being creative. Do you know what one of her triumphal moments on Jurassic Park was?
What? No, shoot.
Steven Spielberg was making all of the like Latino help that he had hired really uncomfortable by like telling them to crawl into the mouth of the T-Rex and would like start screaming at them when they wouldn't. So, like, Kathleen Kennedy pulls him into a trailer and slaps him. It's like, Steven, you cannot feed your minority workforce to the rubber dinosaurs. And he's like, I just don't, I don't understand why I can't. And she slaps him again. Get out there and apologize to them. Right? Like, that's the kind of shit that she would do. Well, she had, like, a Rolodex of, like, every single person in Hollywood so that she could make this shit fucking happen. Like, behind every George Lucas and Steven Spielberg moment, there was a Kathleen Kennedy running around making sure that it actually fucking happened.
Yeah, and that's the job for a producer, right? To make sure everyone gets paid on time, all the catering's right, everyone's out of their trailer, the shoot starts on time, ends on time, everyone goes home and cashes their checks, right? And this, she did this for like the greatest list of movies you have ever read, right?
Yes.
Like, I'm not kidding, where the list of what she's done is like, oh yeah, she's movie god. Okay, cool, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, either she as producer just produced astounding films, or she knew how to pick them.
Mm-hmm. Well, the biggest thing is
The Color Purple, The Money Pit, Empire of the Sun, Arachnophobia, Hook, Jurassic Park, Alive, Milk Money, The Indian in the Cupboard. Look, I love that movie. Fuck you guys.
Congo. Yeah, okay. Fuck yeah.
Well, they can't all be winners. Yeah. The Sixth Sense. Okay.
And Signs.
Munich, War of the Worlds, of course. And then she was also executive producer on a bunch, which is funny because that can basically mean anything. Mm-hmm. I love the term executive producer because sometimes that's I'm pretty sure there was some kind of famous British movie where like some fucking chav mugger was made an executive producer because that's how the dude got out of a mugger.
But I mean,
so like props to him for honoring that.
It's still
by the
pretty
way.
Good to get your name on that list for movies like, oh, I don't know, Schindler's fucking List.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's at her best when she's at like with a really fucked up, like temperamental director who like kind of doesn't operate very well, like, you know, Spielberg or M. Night Shyamalan or
yeah. And there's a very serious argument to be made that partially through her liaisonship, Disney helped maintain the perpetual state of enthusiasm for Star Wars through unusually close corporate plus Lucas like cooperation. Like just having Star Tours and Star Wars merchandise you could get at Disneyland is like further cementing a certain degree of like pop culture staying power. And it may not have been part of why Star Wars remained successful for so long, but like it's in the Petri dish now and it's impossible to tell what part it has.
Yeah. I would say that if there was no Kathleen Kennedy on these projects, we wouldn't have these projects, right? We would have gotten The Force Awakens like 2 years late, and then there would have been no other Star Wars movies. They're like, yeah, we're trying to figure that out still, right? Instead, we got like 8 movies, like 3 of which were fucking terrible and like 3 of which were really good and 2 of which are very not memorable, right?
Yeah. Obviously, one of the going theories in communities that are saltier than crate is like overwhelmingly that like she's trying to push a giant feminist agenda on everything and that she wants to make intersectional Star Wars and shit like that. Which, by the way, that's just a fucking word that I hate.
She just wants to make fucking movies, dude. Like, look at the movies she's fucking made, right? She made Indian in the Cupboard. Don't tell me she's fucking like...
that's so woke, you know?
There was this... there was this recent kerfuffle when the Rey movie was announced, and like the chosen director was all like, it's about time that, like, I can't remember the exact words, it was something like, it's about time destiny is in the hands of a woman in a galaxy far, far away. And it's all like, okay, so that was pretty cringe, lady. Like, that's, I'm not gonna argue the merits of female representation. I'm gonna argue like the facts that, like, that's, what the fuck are you talking about? That's a 2014 horse to me.
It is, in fact, 2024, right? Like, everyone's significantly more nihilist, right? I don't think anyone's on the "it's about time" like, anymore. They're like, the gray walls are closing in.
And then this has turned strangely into, like, this really weird, expansive internal headcanon that, like, Kathleen Kennedy is at war with Dave Filoni, the creator of Clone Wars and Avatar, and he got his start on Samurai Jack. Mm-hmm. Very endearing story about this guy. Apparently part of what got him his job was that he was fucking in love with Plo Koon from episodes 1 and 2.
I knew we'd come back to Plo Koon.
Cosplay. and then showed up in Plo Koon cosplay for episode 3, and then saw him get fucking wasted in a plane going, what the fuck?
Shit. I hate it when Plo Koon dies.
Walked out going, yeah, and he walked out going, dude, what the fuck? They did my man Plo Koon dirty. I love it.
Fuck yeah. I will have to link Plo Koon, because whatever you're thinking, dear listener, if you don't already know what Plo Koon looks like, you're not thinking of what Plo Koon looks like.
For people that are of a particular age, such as myself, you still have flashbacks of the disappointment in episode 2 when he had a blue lightsaber, because we all played Jedi Power Battles. We were like, he has an orange lightsaber? But no, it was just blue.
Okay. So I think I want to bring this up. There's a few of these ones that these are the saltiest and most like Gamergate-y ones. And this is a particular Gamergate-y thing where it's like, I asked my female friend for her opinion on this, and this is what she said. And then it's like most obviously written by myself. And it's the I asked my novelist friend what the core problems with The Last Jedi were. Here's what she wrote back. And it's a fucking manifesto. It's like 3,000 words. of course, I wrote a humorous epilogue to The Rise of Skywalker, and I hope you all enjoy it. May the Force be with you. And this one's really funny because this guy's writing this as like his fandom application. He includes like an author's note saying about like, you can look at my other work on these other places on Reddit. I'm also on Reddit on r/writing. And it's fucking terrible.
J.J. Abrams made a comment in like 2012 that, did danger damage to people's brains. No. Their inland empires are going through the fucking roof. Their ties are constricting. He said, guys, it's not just George Lucas's Star Wars anymore. Okay? We're in a new era. If you want to make a Star Wars, you can now contribute to Star Wars now. Now, this is like all like populist bullshit because – like, you had way more luck of actually working on Star Wars
in the Lucas era, under Disney.
Yeah, than you do now, where, like you have to go to Yak Head parties or go to, like, RNC fundraisers in order to...
No.
Now, you don't have to vote RNC, by the way. You just have to show up at the fundraiser.
Yeah, you have to know what the burning owl smells like. Again, just be hired to carry around the cocktails or whatever. But no, Chad, you could work through the Disney College program where they pay you like less than minimum wage while you're in college to work at Disney. Then you can get a job as like extra in the background.
Yeah, but it just caused this massive fucking backlash where people thought, like, now is the time. It's the people's Star Wars. And it was like, well, it definitely isn't that. Did you see who the directors were? Let's see. J.J. Abrams, Looper guy, and Jurassic World guy. Yeah, no, this sure seems like pluck from the masses.
Just dudes being guys,
and they do that.
Salt of the earth, you know? Salt of the earth. J.J. Yeah. Abrams, who...
Honestly... And now they're just going through why the Bad Batch sucks. In both meta and storytelling terms, what is the future of Star Wars? Like, dude, fucking, I don't know, whatever they say during sweeps week.
Yeah. Okay? Like, I'm betting at least one more Lego game and a lesbian kiss. That's my bet. An easily censored one for the international audiences. Also, there's also a lot of these Last Jedi review I wrote for an assignment where people are posting up their fucking reviews of the thing. There's like 20 Medium articles that I've found. I found like 7 and there's like 12 more results. There's so fucking many of these. I wrote a fan fiction. Here's my essay on why the prequels are better than the sequels. This is like, I hastily wrote a 13-page essay about why it's bad, and here it is on Medium, right? That this is fundamentally what they do is two things. They write these fucking, like, incredibly long explainers, and they post fucking Wojax. Those are the two modes of communication in this fucking thing.
Well, if you've got the free... I don't understand how people can, like, seriously sit down and commit to essays. I love that they're so Star Wars brain that they're like, Kathleen Kennedy can't repel essays of that magnitude.
Again, that's just the thing where Kathleen Kennedy has become like the fucking destroyer as opposed to like the one who's fucking hauling people out of their trailers away from like their new / wife who's definitely just a prostitute, right? Like that this is like I don't think they understand that like a producer's job is the fucking hard-edged killer who gets the movie made, god damn it, and not like the whimsical story person who's like, what if Star Wars was for everyone? Like, that's literally the opposite of their job.
Well, and to be fair, some producer credit just means given a bunch of money.
Yes, some true, but Kathleen Kennedy in particular is like a fucking like ops producer, right? Like,
yeah, having she's worked the exception, sure.
Now, what's funny is when you correctly identify her strengths and also realize that, like, maybe she isn't the weird feminist lesbian child of Eva Braun and
Leni Riefenstahl. Yeah,
Riefenstahl. Then, like, maybe you can realize that. Maybe then you can start to assess the mistakes that she made, right? Like, okay, maybe she should have hired like a John Feige type person from the outset, because like knowing George and knowing how to write like George or pretty much anything creative may not be in her wheelhouse. And this brings us back to the thing that the saltier than crate crowd do that's horrifying. Horrifying. And they always zero in on the fact that one of the first things Kathleen Kennedy did was go, yeah, all those Star Wars books don't fucking real anymore. Not like that they ever were real, because like it's books about Star Wars, but they're even less real than normal now. And these books were affectionately called the Star Wars Expanded Universe. And she said that we will no longer operate under the assumption that they're a part of the story. They'll be resigned to something called Star Wars Legends. And it's really funny because if you liked a lot of Star Wars Expanded Universe, and if you've read as much as I have, you do end up going, statistically, that's actually not a bad.
Yeah, well, it's because you can't fit it all, right? Like, there's no way to write another story in there. So you're like... You're really like, once, as soon as you're like, okay, you have two choices, two roads are ahead of you, Legends or not Legends, right? Are we keeping EU canon? And if EU is canon, well, I guess we're okay. Who are we casting to be Mara Jade? Because she's the only fucking person we're going to cast for the next 12 movies.
Yeah, I'm the heretic because I don't, I want Amara Jade, but like I don't want her married to Luke because I think Luke having sex is weird.
You're like, okay. Luke Island Monk, absolutely correct. The only thing wrong was the blue milk, okay? Everything else about that was perfect.
So if you scroll down Saltier Than Crate, it's flared as Salternate Reality, which is like, why are you inventing your own inner rage lingo? That's cringier than doing a podcast on people who don't like Star Wars. We could have had a Jedi Order back in 2015, and there should have never been a Last Jedi in the sequel's timeline. And it's just a bunch of fucking pictures of characters from like the expanded universe, and like most of them suck. Okay. Also, by the way, the people that like, okay, when Disney decided that it was time to get rid of the expanded universe, which spanned over like
right. It's not dead. Yeah, it's just at a farm up state. Like, that to be clear.
Yeah, it spanned like 200 novels.
Yes, a lot of which were fucking bad. Right, there were some of them that were really, really good. Right, but holy shit, many of them were like, "Wow, this is the worst. This is the worst thing I've ever read."
Well, it would all make sense if you understood where they came from. And it came from a little guy named Kevin J. Anderson. And Kevin J. Anderson was the dude that teamed up with fucking Frank Herbert Jr. to create the fucking Dune expanded universe. Mm-hmm. And then he went and went, wow, hey, Frank, what's up? George Lucas made a lot more money with your dad's movie than your dad did. I'm going to go work with them now. Like that's like literally where it was. Like Kevin J. Anderson walked up and he was all like, dude, I totally want to pitch the idea of like the Star Wars stuff and like maybe dancing around Splinter in the Mind's Eye. I don't know what the fuck you guys were thinking with that. And for those that don't know about Kevin J. Anderson and the terrible Dune novels, if you didn't like Dune, you definitely won't like the rest of the fucking Dune shit that got put out.
It's
by
bad.
Because they fucking suck. They're
really, really bad.
They're terrible. They are like actually unironically beneath the Tom Clancy licensed fiction that appears at airports.
A Tom Clancy novel. He's been dead for like fucking so long now. Like,
yeah, have you seen those? Like Tom Clancy presents Derek Everin's End War.
Homeboy is not presenting shit, I will tell you. Homeboy is wrong, right? Yeah. Like, he's in the fucking ground.
They're like, we got a Ouija board. And I swear it's legit. It's not.
Oh my God, imagine if they just did have like a fucking Ouija at Bernie's type thing where they like had his corpse like mobilized by a Ouija board where like, look, the connection to the two systems means it's authentically Tom Clancy writing it. We don't have to put a disclaimer.
I don't know, but I'm just fucking picturing Sing or whatever his name is from Disco Elysium fucking hawking Tom Clancy knockoff novels. Hey, officer, got some real cool books for you.
Yeah, you're super cool. Here's some books. Finger guns.
Yeah, and so we're going to take you in a terrifying Wonka Tunnel-like journey down the trunk. Because there's a lot you can learn from the expanded universe, and a lot of it is by just not doing what they did a lot. Don't do anything Kevin J. Anderson did. One of like his earliest novels was a collaborative piece that was a like whodunit of or like a behind the mask anthology series about each of the bounty hunters that were in Star Wars Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
Which is like a really cool idea until you find out that like the dude that was put behind Boba Fett was like, no, I fucking hate Star Wars, but like I love writing for money. So I said, fucking gimme. And Kevin J. Anderson is like, no, that dude's cool. Like we play darts sometimes. He rules.
I think he also did a novelization for like an X-Files book, I want to say. I'm pretty sure. I can't get to him right now because the bookcase is inaccessible at the moment. But yeah.
Yeah, no.
Kevin J. Anderson is like very much like the Mickey Rooney as depicted on The Simpsons.
Yeah, he's the hitter you need. When you need some licensed fiction, he's there. And so when we say like don't be like Kevin J. Anderson, do be like Kevin J. Anderson, okay? Like,
oh just, yeah, no, work.
Get
it.
That fucking money, right? some executive is like, Chris Carter wrote some bullshit. Can you turn it into words? And that you're like, okay, how much money? And they're like, $8,000. And you're like, yes, you got it 100%. Right.
And so the Salt Earth and Crate people are really mad about the show Book of Boba Fett because it was kind of uneven and it had like a really weird scooter chase.
I love how you could just highlight the weird shit where they're like, yeah, it had a weird scooter chase. Therefore, they decided it was like part of the woke agenda.
Yeah. And like it did some things really cool. Did some things like really not cool. They bought the biggest fucking merchandising franchise like in the world, but like think they could merchandise it better. So like you can go back and watch the original trilogy, and Lucas has like a lot of things in there that are like I know this throws off the pacing, but I keep the camera rolling for like 90 more seconds, we can squeeze some more toys.
Yeah, we have right? So many action figures. You are not going to believe the number of action figures that are going to come out of this motherfucker.
But despite that, Disney Star Wars gets like very what you think of when you think of like the lame marketing guys coming in. They approach it with the exact same brain rot as the people that got mad about in Harley Quinn or whatever the fuck it's called, Batman was going to go down on Catwoman or something like that, and the guys were like, heroes don't do that.
That's like the funniest thing ever, because it doesn't even happen in the thing. It's just like Robert Pattinson just said that.
I love the idea that like I just didn't know that Ben Shapiro was on the creative board. That's all I'm saying.
Like, women don't come in the fucking DC universe. That's not true. Okay, don't say that.
Only the villains.
Only the bad. It's bad if that happens.
Yeah. So, like Harley, she's a gusher.
Jesus.
But yeah. So. They spent a lot of time fucking bitching about that, and I get that they bitch about it. It's fine, but then like they talk about the expanded universe, where gotta tell you this isn't a whole lot better. No, this is a lot worse than what we got. Yeah, no. So this over merchandising type of thing has that whole thing of like, well, you can't make the character too evil because we want to sell toys of him. And it's like, meanwhile, Darth Vader literally cannot stay on the shelves. It's like there's a Newtonian like fucking attraction between Darth Vader toys and kids'
hands.
They
just float directly out the door, yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, no, it's not the Force, it's just marketing. Mm-hmm. So like Boba Fett, who is like the only things we know about him are that like one, he uses hyperviolence. Two, he really likes money. And three, he gives giant desert mouths indigestion.
My backpack's like, got jets. I'm mm-hmm. Boba the Fett. Yeah. That's what I know about Boba Fett.
Yeah. It's really funny because to me, I didn't know MC Chris for that. I knew MC Chris for the Resident Evil versus Kingdom Hearts video.
Okay.
Oh, you never saw that?
No, but we are going way over on time.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to show you that. Holy shit, that's a classic. And then somebody's all like, "This is MC Chris's Boba Fett video," and I'm like, "The guy that didn't like Kingdom Hearts?" And then I listen to it, and I'm like, he did a cover of the Zach and Miri song?
Chad, we have to find an end to this episode somewhere. We can't keep going down these. We are in the Sarlacc now. Oh, no. Also, speed round, though. Bombs never fall in Star Wars.
Unless they come from TIE bombers for some reason.
There's no such thing as a thumbs up in Star Wars.
God, how much do you need to be mad about something to get mad that like a fucking lighter did a vague thumbs up symbol?
Hell, and there's no swears in Star Wars.
Okay.
Which like there just is that, like, this is the like the whole thing with like fucking that we're just getting through these because like again, winning an argument is easy if you can lie.
Yeah.
It's like the fucking Star Trek thing where it's like Data and Lore, and Lore is like, I can use contractions. Well, you can't. And then you go back through every episode and Data's like, I'm going to the store. We're also going to the holodeck. Does anyone want anything in the store?
Right? You mean it's like me talking to Joyce?
Yeah. What is space? I don't know. And all these kids spend so much fucking time on this. They're literally collecting every moment that someone says hell in the news trilogy and throws a thumbs up or says something like cops or the fuzz. And then you're like, did you not watch Star Wars? Right? Like, you only have to watch Star Wars once to see them do all of these things. They please stop doing this for your own sanity.
Well, and it creates such bad, like, media and literary critical skills, because you end up finding all of these weird fetishistic reasons to hate it, where it's all like they're not consistent with the lore. Dude, motherfucker, Star Wars has never been internally consistent with its lore, like, at any fucking point. Did you know you don't once see a motherfucker force pull something in episode 4?
Of course not.
Right? And, like, because you were 7 when you watched it the first time, you were not so plagued by, like, nostalgia prejudice that you were like, oh, these are, like, emerging new fucking things that we get to learn about, as opposed to, like, going back and going, how come in the original trilogy he walked around that OSHA-violating tractor beam thing instead of just using the Force to pull it down?
Because Lucas didn't have him do that.
When the answer... Yeah, which is that the answer is always because, like, dude, this is sick as shit. And also, we got to see one of those really cool matte paintings. And matte paintings are, like, the coolest thing Hollywood has ever done.
Big if true, yes. And I think that's an episode, because we're never going to get better than matte paintings, right?
Do we not have 13 minutes left?
What? No, we're at 1:06.
What the fuck? Why does mine say 37 minutes?
I have no idea.
Mine says 106 too.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's why I was like, Chad, we gotta hustle, this... right? Like, I was not hustling you along recreationally here.
No, I thought you were like, dude, he's gonna be on the expanded universe topic for a long, long, long time. And, like, it's true, I would be. So, like, don't let your fiction writing be infested by things that are saltier than crate.
And if you want to be, just Sean, go write. Write your own thing. Don't write a Star Wars fanfic. Don't just write your own thing. You can write your own beautiful fucking word child into existence. You don't have to think that Kathleen Kennedy is trying to, like, personally sabotage your happiness.
Yeah, but also just genuinely believe that, like, literally all you have to do is hit beats in a style of, like, don't parse all that shit and be like, how much screen time did Finn have relative to Rey? And, like, what was the... Like, you don't know how to parse any of this anyway, so why are you starting with fucking Star Wars?
Sit down, watch Pirates of the Caribbean Curse the Black Pearl, watch Ron by Akira Kurosawa, and then write something. It doesn't matter what you write after that. It will be Star Wars, like factually. It can't help being Star Wars at that point.
And also, just watch Ron anyway.
Yeah, just watch
it's
Ron.
Sick
it looks sick.
Movie.
So good.
The best quote about it, and I think this can send us out with Kurosawa about, like, what production is like, where someone was like, why did you shoot it like this in front of the castle with the two armies and, like, the contrasting colors? Like, what made you choose that shot? And he's like, well, if I turned the camera 1 degree that way, there was a power plant. And if I turned the camera 1 degree the other direction, there was a Honda factory. So that's the shot we got.
We were pretty lucky how well that one came out, let me tell
you. It works great. It reminds me always of the Stargate thing, where it's like, the whole planet is from here to here, okay? That's what we're working with. But
now, what I'll roll us out on is that if you absolutely wondered what waited for you in the expanded universe, Boba Fett was a Uvalde cop. I'm not even
he
joking.
Is. It's so
look
sad.
It
also, you should link that thing about that one horrible character, that self-insert. That seems like extra bonus material.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll go on the Vergear rant in fucking Discord.
Please
Holy
do.
Holy fucking shit. What a nightmare scenario that is. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like the one living Dark Empire fan, for what it's worth. But if you want to hear about that rant, the place to do so will be in the description of this episode. There will be a link to all of our socials, specifically our Discord as the main thing in there, where you can talk to us and specifically hear about all the bad things that, you know, it's pretty okay. I think Disney did okay killing the expanded universe, maybe. Like, there was enough bad apples in there for the bunch to get ruined. You know what I'm saying?
But there were,
I like the one where velociraptors uploaded people to computers, but their souls.
Okay. Jason Solo is also not a great character.
just never has been.
Nope. But if you want to compensate Chad for his research and his Donnie spelunking efforts, there is a Ko-fi in there, and that Ko-fi will allow you to contribute directly to the production of this podcast. We will reward you with cat pictures. These cat pictures will have Star Wars subtitles for the duration of this episode's publication. Of course, it would also help us out a great deal if you could leave a like, maybe leave a review, maybe share this episode with a friend, maybe a really toxic friend who like makes 7-hour response videos to 1-hour and 8-minute podcasts. That I think that would punch our hate listen numbers way, way up.
I think the nuclear triad of virginity is like Star Wars. Shit, and I had the other two. Just edit this out, but it's gone. But it was
gotcha. But above all else, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.